No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And to kick off the show today, we are joined by a very special guest, Tom Haynes from AOPA, the big kahuna, the big cheese, the guy who knows everything when it comes to flying and protecting our rights in the skies. There might be a few other people there at AOPA that do it as well, but we like Tom the best.
Yes.
So we'll go with that. Right, Tom? You'll take
Hello,
that.
Hello, guys.
Yes.
I will take that, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, good.
You're just pumping me up way too much here.
Well, we got a brown nose when it's appropriate. So we want to get the latest and greatest information when it comes to legislative issues for aviators. And I know you are a man that you personally follow this quite a bit. But, of course, you guys cover it on AOPA Live every week. And you need to check out that video podcast that they do with AOPA. If you don't check it out, it's a very good news source to stay up to date. But let's talk about the, what is it, the pilots?
Pilot Bill of Rights 2, yeah. And some changes that have come down.
Yeah, right. Because basically this is where we're getting into the third class medical is now part of some legislative piece of something or other that they're trying to push through Congress, and that's what this is the yeah. Pilot Bill of Rights. And I don't know, what's the latest from your perspective there, Tom?
Well, there's quite a few components to the Pilots' Bill of Rights 2, introduced by Senator Inhofe. But the most significant one, the one that most pilots are focused on right now, is language regarding a third-class medical reform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that AOPA and others have been working on very diligently for the last couple of years. And there has been multiple versions of the language kicked around over the last couple of years. And most recently, there has been a couple of changes. Again, like any piece of legislation or any policy that occurs, there are other people, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, who don't see eye to eye with the pilot community
what?
On some of these issues. I know. Oh, not everybody believes that airplanes are wonderful things and that we should all be allowed to fly wherever we want.
Right.
But there have been some compromises made in the language. And, of course, none of it's done yet, so... Well, we have the current language reflects some compromises. We don't know where we're going to end up with it when we get a final bill. Maybe we're going to be able to go back and change it back to some things that have been we've been talking about earlier that were more promising for aviation. But regardless, even where we are today is really remarkable progress for most GA pilots. Not everybody is going to be satisfied with this bill, but nobody. Not everybody's going to be satisfied with it ever.
Yeah, exactly.
The main thing was just to get rid of having to have your aviation medical done by a doctor every year or whatever. What was it? Every 2 years. Everybody felt that was a bureaucracy. It really wasn't doing anything to make the skies safer.
Yeah.
Might give a few more bucks to some aviation doctors. But yeah, it was a roadblock for more private pilots taking the plunge because just one more element or hoop you had to jump through, it was kind of a pain and really wasn't doing right. much. So the idea was to eliminate that whole thing, and now it's kind of come back to what? It's now not 2 years, but what? What is the alternative we've come up with lately?
What it is now is that for the average pilot who's been getting a medical certificate all along and is just worried about the future and his ability to get a medical in the future,
mm-hmm.
It's all good in that if the legislation passes, you can just simply stop getting a medical certificate and continue to fly airplanes of a certain category. It's mostly talking about airplanes that weigh 6,000 pounds or less. The number of seats involved is still kind of bantered back and forth, but it's probably going to be at least 4 seats, maybe 5, maybe 6. And probably below 18,000 feet, although 14.5 gets kicked around, but I think we're going to stick at 18. It's going to stick at 18,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, for those people, it's all good.
Okay.
If you're somebody new in the system, or if you've been out of aviation for a while and haven't gotten a medical certificate in the last 10 years, then you're going to have to go and get a medical certificate, go through the aviation medical examiner and get a certificate. However, once you've done that, then you're done. You never have to renew it again. You can just go fly the airplanes that I just described. No hassle. For student pilots, that is a bit of an issue in that they are going to have to be able to pass it once.
Okay.
If you can't pass it, whether you're a student or you're somebody in the past who hasn't had a certificate in 10 years, and you've got some issues that require special attention from the FAA, there are certain health situations that require what's called a special issuance or an SI.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we have now, right? We have that.
Yeah, that exists today.
Yeah.
And so what's different with the legislation is you only have to get your special issuance one time. And once you have it, you never have to go through that process again. So that's new and a really big improvement.
That's a huge, because, you know, I was just talking to somebody today that has to go through it annually, has to go get all this documentation every year. Mm-hmm. And he's diabetic. He's insulin diabetic, and he's been stable for 22 years and been renewing his third class medical every year. And so for somebody like him, it's just going to be a godsend.
Yeah.
and simplify his life and make his flying much more enjoyable.
Yeah. So it's not how we hoped it would be, where they were eliminating it altogether. But, you know, you do it once and then you don't have to mess with that part of it again. But you still have to monitor your health. You still got to visit a doctor every few years. So it's just like you typically would or should. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And basically,
yeah, you have to go to your personal physician once every 4 years.
Yeah,
and then just be able to document that should you be asked. You don't have to send it to the FAA mm-hmm. or anything like that. You just need to, it's sort of like a flight review. You just have to be able to demonstrate if anybody asks that you've done that step. And then there's an online course you have to take every 2 years that just is basically a brush up on things that you should know about health and the effects of altitude and all that kind of stuff on you from a physiological standpoint. And that's probably a good thing to do anyhow. And again, there's no reporting of that to the FAA. It's just that whomever is administering the course, and I'll tell you that AOPA has developed an online course that probably is going to be blessed by the FAA. We're hoping to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then it's just a matter of, you know, it just resides in a database somewhere that you have, you know, pilot certificate number XYZ has taken a course. And once again, nobody cares unless something happens. If you're in an enforcement action or you have some sort of medical situation in flight and the FAA looks into it, you just need to be able to demonstrate, yeah, I took that course within the last 2 years.
Got it. So it's a pilot's Bill of Rights. So that's one.
Two. Pilot's Bill of Rights. Two.
Okay.
Because there's already been a pilot's Bill of Rights.
Right. But there's more
Correct.
Than one right other than the third class medical. What else is in this thing? What are they trying to do? What do we?
Well, there's a number of other things dealing with, you know, the way that the FAA is allowed to interact with pilots from an enforcement standpoint. That was some of the things that were in the Pilots' Bill of Rights 1 that got passed a couple of years ago, and basically, it's taking it's pretty detailed stuff, taking some of the things that were fixed in the first bill and fixing them a little bit more, because as always, there are sometimes unintended consequences of legislation or regulations. And so this goes in and makes some other additional adjustments to the law that make it easier for pilots to basically interact with the FAA from an enforcement standpoint.
Yeah.
Doesn't it also
draw in operators as 141s, 135s, that they were kind of left out of the wording in the first one, that they're brought into the wording in the second one?
Yeah, it does broaden some of that, and of course we had some issues not long ago with the Airline Pilots Association, one of the largest airline unions, although all of the other airline unions are on board with the Pilots' Bill of Rights and the third class medical language. ELPA came out, actually I should say the ELPA administration, not necessarily the pilots on the street.
Right.
If Keith was here, he would correct you.
In theory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, ELPA as an organization came out in opposition to parts of the Pilots' Bill of Rights, too, including some parts of the third class medical. And so we've been meeting with them and basically helping them understand why this is the concerns they have are not an issue. Meanwhile, they have been asking for some things that they believe that would serve their members well. And so we're trying to figure out whether or not we can accommodate that in this Pilot's Bill of Rights 2. But really, this is what we call a Pilot's Bill of Rights 2. It really has been a general aviation Pilot's Bill of Rights 2. And so trying to infuse now some things that protect commercial pilots who operate at kind of a different level in a lot of different ways may be problematic for us from a language standpoint and may draw this out and prolong the discussion. So we're trying to figure out how we can work with ELPA and make all this good for everybody.
I think it starts with Fight Club.
Let's arm wrestle over.
Yeah, so. Okay. That would work too. All right. Well, Tom, thanks for the update. We appreciate it and wish you the best. And we'll talk to you again very soon here at Just Plain Radio.
All right. Good talking with you guys.
More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We are in the studio here, but we are joined on the phone by Captain Keith right now because, you know, we're talking politics. And I can't believe, even though we couldn't connect with him via the web because of some internet gremlins this week, I figured we need to talk to him at some point, let him, you know, relieve some pressure. Because as soon as he hears these chats about how the process is coming along with the pilot's Bill of Rights 2, he's not going to be a happy camper. Hey, are you, Keith? Are you following this or what?
Well, I'm hearing you, but, you know, I'll save my judgment. Go ahead.
Well, it's not really progressing as fast as it should. I guess it's progressing as fast as you could expect the government. When you put in that qualification, it's lightning fast.
Yeah.
But but it's really, I mean, this process is dragged out way too long, hasn't it?
Well, in one way, yes. In another way, no. In that, you know, it is actually moving in what I would call lightning speed for the government.
For the government.
And the FAA.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. you know, it's it. But, yeah, is it fast enough for the rest of the world?
Well,
no. As with anything
normal
with
people.
Government. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. What we've been talking about we talked to Tom Haines on the Pilots Bill of Rights 2 and the changes in the verbiage, the concessions that have been given to get the additional sponsorships in the Senate, and mm-hmm. and that it's watered it down a little bit, and that I don't think it's unreasonable, but it's still not what it started out to be. And as you said, it may not end up being that way.
Well, the idea was to eliminate the bureaucracy of a third-class medical.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of, they're talking about eliminating it for a lot of people after they do it the first time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the redundancy of it is being potentially eliminated, but still you got to go through it the first time.
Yeah, there's still the barrier.
And the, you know, the issue is when you look at the fact that we've been having this element or this restriction on us for so long, and the light sport aircraft people don't have to have that, correct?
Good point. No, they do not.
And the data is there to support that they're not having any more accidents or incidents than general aviators that do have to get the private pilot certificate. Am I right?
That, well, now you're talking common sense, and Keith.
Hello.
What happens in Congress when common sense, or in Washington when common sense is spoken?
They go home. They're like, something's wrong. It must be a holiday or something like that. Am I right, Keith?
Absolutely. I'm not sure you can use logic or reason within the confines of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the FAA.
Yeah.
Or that's, I guess that's in terms of the government in general, speaking. You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, if the FAA wants something from you, you have a minimum of 30 days.
Yep.
Or, I'm sorry, a maximum of 30 days,
yep.
Not a minimum. You have a maximum of 30 days to get it to them or else.
Yep.
And here's just another sense in where our government has no accountability. They can take as long as they want to do whatever they want, and it's not a government for the people, by the people anymore. It's whatever they want to do.
Hmm. And they being who?
In this particular case, the FAA.
Okay. Yeah.
They're dragging their feet on this deal here. There's no reason. You know, as you've already said,
yeah.
We've got all the statistics to prove that having a third-class medical does nothing to enhance the safety of the private pilot certificate.
You know, and
so...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, the FAA could have solved this already, and it could have been done, but it's having to go through Congress and politicians to get it done. The FAA doesn't have to go through this process to change the requirements.
But they did, because they kept setting on it, because there were some people in the FAA that didn't agree with the idea.
As Keith was just saying, that they don't, they can hold it hostage as long as they want. And
well, okay, they can hold it hostage, but wasn't the issue that there were some people at the FAA, or maybe it was at Pilots Association?
Well, that too.
That was complaining that, oh, this is going to make the skies more dangerous for us commercial pilots, and we're going to have all these yeehaws that shouldn't be in
but
the skies.
But you know what, Greg?
What?
That's so much baloney, because the Airline Pilots Association does not have a clue what's really going on in the industry. The Airline Pilots Association is out for themselves and themselves alone.
Well,
they also say that there is no pilot shortage.
They do?
The Airline Pilots Association thinks that there is absolutely not a pilot shortage at all whatsoever. So that just goes to show you that they're in bed with the government. They're in bed with the GAO, who says that there is no pilot shortage. And because they're looking at the major air carriers, they have no idea. I would dare to get, and I know that 90% of statistics are made up on the spot, but I would say that probably, I'm going to make one up right now.
I was going to say, that's what I was thinking you're doing.
Yeah.
Probably 87% of the airline pilots that are part of ALPA do not have any part of general aviation. And they really are separated from it to the point where they don't really know what's going on.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're making a lot of comments or quoting a lot of some statistics or making some assumptions here. I'm not sure where they're coming from, especially from the standpoint of, they believe there's no pilot shortage. Where are you coming up with that?
The GAO, there was a report out by the GAO that they didn't believe that there was a pilot shortage.
So what do they believe? That there just isn't? Or is the that thinking they, that
they looked
don't...
at the number of certified pilots that were qualified to fly, and they're looking at the major airlines and say there's plenty of supply, which is partially true, but not when you look at the whole pilot demographic of regional airlines and corporations and so forth, that only major airlines would be filled, but everybody else would have no pilots.
But what would be their motivation of saying such a thing? Less pilots demand higher salaries because they got to be paid higher or whatever, or can demand higher rate or something?
It's just the government having no accountability. I sat in a meeting and I listened to the head of the GAO say that there wasn't a pilot shortage at the WAF conference in 2014 in Orlando, Florida. And there was almost a riot in the place, and they had to escort the guy out of there because majority of the people that were there, both foreign and domestic, were regional air carriers who are all struggling to get pilots. Most of the forums at that particular event were about recruiting pilots. How do we get them in there? Keep in mind that the FAA, the numbers that they put out on new pilot statistics, how many startups do we have, how many private pilot certificates and so forth, they don't take out the people that came here from China or any other country to get their private pilot certificate, but they are not going to be flying domestically either by themselves or for an air carrier.
All right, well, we'll continue this thought on the other side. Stay close to Just Plain Radio. He's going to pop a blood vessel, I'm telling you.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm going to fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're going to fly high without fear, you're going to have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you got to learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right. So, this is news to me. And maybe this just didn't, I just didn't see this part about it. I didn't realize there was any controversy whatsoever about the pilot numbers.
So you basically haven't been listening to us for the last year or more?
I give you guys about 60%.
Yeah. That explains so much of your flight training.
Yes, it really does.
Okay, well, what do you
want? I can actually show you. Matter of fact, Greg, I already sent you a copy of the Airline Pilots Association dissertation on why they did not believe there's a pilot shortage.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I can resend that to you. But let's get back to the other issue here. I mean, we kind of sidetracked on that. You know, the FAA could very easily have taken this and passed it and said, okay, this is what we're going to do without having to go to Congress. Now we're going to take it to Congress, who we already know has absolutely no clue what's going on in aviation at all whatsoever. And that is brought to light every single day at the airline industry when Congress said that all pilots have to have an airline transport pilot certificate to fly for the air carriers. It's caused a major problem in recruiting for airlines. It's caused major issues in the fact that you take a pilot who used to have 250 to 300 hours and was trainable and teachable, and put them in the cockpit with an experienced captain, and they were able to learn on the job. And now they spend 700 or 800 hours building bad habits and losing the instrument proficiency and the scan that they've used, and have virtually no experience, and they're putting them in the cockpit. And that's supposed to make them a better pilot. And I see it on a daily basis personally, how that has not helped but actually hindered the job of the airlines to put safe and qualified pilots in the cockpit.
Well, I don't know.
And that's what your families are going behind, and that's what Congress is going to do, because they have no clue what's going on.
Okay. Well, Ed, I don't know about you, but I wish Keith would tell us how he really felt.
I think he'll let loose on the next segment.
We'll see. That's coming up, and you've been warned.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag?
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot, it's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G. Says the stewardess is some sexy leading, pouring coke and whiskey, told her about my condition, got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high they never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed, flight training professionals. Also, we have Keith on the phones from St. Louis. I don't think he's on a plane, but he might be drunk.
No.
No, he's not?
No.
Well, that's right. He doesn't do that, does he? That explains why his blood pressure is so high, maybe. You think? Or is it just the topic
at
hand?
That might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Or it might just happen to be the fact that I'm talking about the government that blood pressure is so high.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
I think it is the case. So let's continue that and see if we can cause an aneurysm by the end of the show today. That'd be ratings gold, I tell you. All right. So anyway, you're not a fan of government regulation. I get that whole thing, but the fact that this Bill of Rights for pilots is getting bogged down in committee, and hopefully they're going to finally make a little bit of progress, but it's anybody's guess. Matter of fact, this whole Bonnier thing, or Boehner retiring.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will end up derailing the process a little bit or slowing it down, too, with the potential government. They're fighting whether they're going to shut it down or another continuance. Who knows what the hell is going to happen? And all that stuff does affect this in some way or another, or slows down the process. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes. I mean, do you have any predictions in that regard, Keith, or have you given up trying to figure out if this will ever go or happen or what?
Well, I think eventually it will get through, but it's a point that the process is not being followed properly. The FAA has the authority to do it. They're not doing their job. They're giving it off to somebody else to let them do it, who really has no idea what's really going on in the industry. How does Congress know whether or not a pilot should need medical? It's not up to Congress to oversee. It's up to the FAA, who oversees our aviation industry.
Yeah.
And why are they shirking that responsibility and giving it back to Congress and letting them make the decision for them?
Well, this is one of those.
Why do we allow that to happen?
This is one of those public arguments where somebody in the industry or familiar with aviation, it makes total sense, but someone outside goes like, wait a minute, what's wrong with having pilots have to pass a medical to fly a plane? I don't want them flying their plane over me and crashing it into my house because they had a heart attack or weren't healthy or whatever. I mean, you have that public perception problem that, on the surface, it kind of makes a little sense to the layman. Does that make sense?
Well,
it's no different than in diving talking about shark attacks and like, oh my God, we got to kill a shark because, there we have shark attacks on the beach. And most divers understand that that doesn't happen when you go down and you scuba dive and you actually search them out and they're very rare and they're being killed and all this kind of stuff. It's
yeah.
the same kind of public perception problem, I think, that you know, you could get bogged down in Congress with, because their constituents could say, yeah, hey, make them take a medical. I don't want them doing that. I don't know. You think that's the problem?
Well, I definitely think that that's part of the problem, because I think you're right on target when you say that, you know, the public perception is the fact that, you know, this guy could have a heart attack and die and crash his airplane into my house or whatever. But you've got a better chance of a guy driving down the street having a heart attack
and running a car into your
house than you would have an airplane. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It would do more damage.
And it would do more damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yes, getting Congress involved in this, how does Congress know what those statistics are? How does Congress know that?
Well, yeah.
You know, and most of those guys don't even drive themselves. They get somebody who does it for them.
Well, and you're going back to the driving analogy. A car is a way more lethal weapon than an airplane is, and there is very little regulation, very little training. When my son went through the driver's training compared to what we went through when we were growing up, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let him drive for the longest time until I was saying he was ready to drive.
Right.
But that's because you're a control freak, Ed.
Well, hell yeah.
But you're right. I mean, the amount of training that you have to do, and you look at, you know, just drive down the highways in any city and see how fast the people are driving and how young they are and how old they are, and they, you know, that they've had zero training at all whatsoever. At least a pilot, I don't care if he's 16 or 17 years old and he's flying an airplane or she's flying an airplane, they have had training, specialized training, in handling the emergencies of an airplane.
Yep.
And you don't get that when you're driving an automobile.
Nope.
So true. So true. And, you know, when we started this show, one of the things I wanted to try to accomplish, not just for me personally, but with the whole idea of doing Just Plane Radio, was take the mystery out of learning to fly. And, like, look, if this idiot can do it, and I'm pointing to me right now, anybody can do it. And it's, you know, when you go through the whole process, it's a little intimidating at first. And there's that whole mystery type of thing. Like, oh, my God, flying an airplane, well, I could never do that.
Well, and that's like the help we gave James last week and the week before on guiding him to school and helping him get started. Because he really had a ton of great questions that, and definitely had done some thinking to it, but he needed that mystery taken away.
Yeah. And you know, when you get into it and you start to learn, like, okay, these are the systems and that kind of, it really, you know, you take the veil away and you realize, like, hey, this is doable. I can do this. This isn't much different than driving a car once you get the basics of landing down and, you know, get the feel for the, you know, the balance of the plane on a landing, as far as for me. But when you get all the other stuff in place, it's not super hard to do, really. Yeah.
Well, we kind of get, no, it's not. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. And that, you know, I guess we got started on this talking about, you know, the general perception of the public out there. But I kind of want to take it back to where we're talking about Congress and Congress getting involved in this. And, you know, and I think Keith brought this up, if the FAA wanted it done, it would have been done, as I think you had an example of something that recently came about, Keith.
Yeah.
The FAA just had a press release that came out that they've got some agreements now with Canada that will help out with the certification of airplanes and so forth, and STC, supplemental type certification of different things that happen with airplanes, that, you know, we'll go by their regulations, they'll go by our regulations, and we'll make it happen nice and easy. Okay, we're going to be friendly neighbors and make this happen, which is great. If you buy an airplane that was, you know, like Bombardier builds a lot of airplanes, and so, you know, their airplanes and can come over here and we can use them, and if we have an STC, we can get it, you know, changed, and, you know, modifications done to the airplane, and makes it great. It's something that the FAA wanted. Somebody in there wanted that to happen, and it happened fairly quickly, versus something like this, which would help the aviation industry tremendously more, with the pilot shortage out there, being allowing more people to get involved, find out what aviation is about. They don't want it, so they're stalling it and letting it take a different course instead of just taking the bull by the horns and doing their job that we've put them in place to do, and having them do their job.
Now, I understand what you're saying, Keith, but I have to go back to why. Why would they want to stall it? What benefit is it to the FAA to slow that process down for them? I don't really get the motivation.
Now they can blame somebody else for making the decision.
Yeah.
Because if, like right now, when you talk to the FAA about the problems of making all pilots have to have an airline transport, they'll go, oh, wait a minute, that's not us, that's Congress, you can't blame us for that.
Exactly.
That's the first thing that every single person that works for the FAA is going to say.
All right, so you're saying if they erase,
they're going to do the same thing here. They're just going to throw their hands in the air as soon as an accident happens because somebody did have a heart attack. And granted, it's probably going to happen because it happens with airline pilots who have first-class medicals. And unfortunately, it's a fact of life, and pilots have had heart attacks while they're at the controls of the airplane. It doesn't happen very often, thank goodness,
right.
But it has happened. And in this particular case, when it does happen, and it's a single-engine airplane, and it does end up crashing, the FAA is going to throw up their hands and go, it wasn't us. And that's the reason why they're stalling it.
Okay. Yep. Well, leave it to Keith to show us what's indeed wrong with the world and government. How's that for brown nosing?
That is good.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go, fly, be free.
Time for me to fly. Oh, I
set myself free.
Time for me to fly.
That's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, the website to go to and, you know, learn to fly with them as your flight instructors. I mean, I'm not a great example of their, you know, like a testimonial or a successful case just yet. I'm still a work in progress. Is that how you would put it?
Yeah, you're a piece of work.
Yeah, okay, something like that. However, you guys do great programs, even if you're not a student at Flight Training Professionals.
Customer.
And you have this, Rusty Pilot program?
Well, we just 2 weeks ago did a program that's actually sponsored by OPA. It's a national program that they've been working on for about a year now.
Okay.
It's called Rusty Pilot, and it's aimed to bring people who have been flying in the past but are not actively flying back into the flying community. This was my first experience with it. I've known about it for a while. Good friend of the school, Joe Marzell, who's the guy from iCloth, the little wipes that you use on your screens, he organized it for us, and I had the pleasure of sharing the stage with our good friend Diego Alfonso, who is pilot examiner extraordinaire and teacher to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure, however, that I presented before him because you just can't follow him, couldn't you, Keith?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I just knew I had to go, before him so that I didn't totally embarrass myself afterwards. So, AOPA put it together, and it's a PowerPoint presentation. What it's doing is doing the ground portion to a person's flight review. But AOPA goes out and markets it for you, puts out mailers and to people that have been certified in the past in your geographic area, and get them interested in coming in. And we had about 20 people there. Great success. Actually, the presentation the AOPA put together was my first time doing it. Great organization of information. It just led us right through the curriculum. At the end, we sign them off for the ground portion of their flight review, and we made some contacts and showed some people some airplanes, and trying to get people excited about getting back into aviation, and a lot of the standard questions that we get when somebody comes back to it: how long is it going to take, and what do I have to do? But it was just a way to kind of get them in and get them into the community again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good experience.
Yeah, Diego's quite the character.
He had him laughing.
Yeah, did he start off the seminar like a welcome to the Rusty Pilot seminar and here's your cup of lube or something?
No, that wasn't sitting in front of the pilot.
No,
he got into technology though, and as he was going through his spiel about technology, he says, I don't need, and he always says, I don't need a GPS, but I want to in my airplane, but I don't need any. And he says, let me tell you about technology. I don't make my wife go down to the river with the washboard to wash clothes. We've got brand new front-loading washers and dryers in our house. Mm-hmm. So, he just goes on and on. And I don't know where it all comes from. It just comes out of his brain into his mouth with that Cuban-American accent. And it's just a pleasure to work around.
Yes. So those folks that went through the process, are they now flying again, or are they? This is just like a little bit of a refresher to get them.
It's a refresher to get them back into it, back interested in it. And we did spend some time with a couple of them, and there are a couple that are on the schedule. It is somewhat promoting our business, but it's more about promoting the aviation community and getting people back involved with it.
Well, that does both, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so, we made sure they knew our services were there, but we also, said that, here's some other great things. We tried to introduce them to the local EAA chapter and a lot of different things that they can do to get back into aviation.
Yeah. And then, but by the way, here's Keith, and go ahead and talk government. to him, and that'll entertain you for another half an hour or so.
Yeah.
Keith, are you still with us?
I am still here.
Okay.
Enjoying Ed's little commentation there. Yeah, I just let him talk a little bit about
okay,
that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of figured he'd keeled over by now.
No.
Yeah.
But no, like I say, it was a good experience. And, I think it's very important that, and I really encourage other flight schools to do this program because it gets, there's a certain amount of giving back I believe you need to do to the aviation community. That's why I speak at the safety seminars. That's why I spoke at this thing. And we're actually loaning our classroom out to the EA chapter a couple times because their main room is going to be under reconstruction. And it's stuff like that that you've got to look at it past the business side and just to the whole pure get more people involved in aviation, it will do everybody good. There is no downside to any of that.
Well, once you become a pilot, and Keith, back me up on this, whether it's a single engine pilot, private pilot certificate, or a flight instructor, it's even more paramount to do this, but you become an ambassador for aviation because you want to protect the activity that you have chosen to pursue, whether it's professionally or just for fun. And then you learn about all these aggravating things that the government's doing to keep us from doing it. and you want to make people aware, like, hey, you don't realize how screwed up it is. It's the reason that it's so difficult to learn to fly sometimes and that mystery about going through it. It's really not that difficult, but it's difficult because they've kind of made it that way. And we're trying to loosen it up to make it accessible to more folks so they can have this experience that is, we have found by going through it ourselves, mm-hmm. is challenging but extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even well though said. I haven't even got my flight certificate finished yet, I know I will get it done eventually. I've learned so much with we've done already, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's been a blast.
Cool.
We do this radio show. They can learn from my mistakes. There's only been like one, maybe two tops.
Today.
All right. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.